If you're saved, you're standing on the solid rock. How many of you brought a King James Bible to church this morning? Waving in the air. Oh, boy, that's a beautiful sight. How many of you believe that thing you're waving in the air is the perfect word of God? All right, well, maybe we can get something done then this morning. Because a bunch of that crowd don't believe it. I'm glad when I open up the Bible, I may not understand it all. I may not even like it all, but I believe it all. Yes, sir. All right. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 12. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 12. One verse. We'll get with it this morning. Proverbs 27:12 says this. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Again, I want you to notice what the Bible says. It says that a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. The Bible says that a prudent man has some insight about what could be bad down the road. A prudent man has some spiritual discernment about some things to watch out for and to look for and to be aware of. Keep that in mind as we start this sermon this morning and start a series, actually, that we'll be doing over the next several Sunday mornings. Brother Tony, would you pray for us? Amen. Yes. Help us. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. If the Lord is willing and the creek don't rise, for the next seven Sunday mornings, I'm going to be preaching a series of messages entitled, Why Churches Die. Why Churches Die. And this morning, the very first message is going to be entitled, The Prudence of Prevention. The Prudence of Prevention. I want you to understand why I got this idea to preach this series over the next several Sunday mornings. Brother Russell gave me a book and was telling me about it, and I asked him for it and read it and gave it back to him. Went and got my own copy and read it, then read it again. It's a real small book, but I read that thing three times, and that thing stuck out to me and gave me an idea of some problems that we need to look out for as a church, and really encouraged me to want to preach this series. The title of that book is The Autopsy of a Deceased Church. An Autopsy of a Deceased Church. This book's written by a man by the name of Tom S. Rainer. Let me tell you about this man. Dr. Rainer was a former pastor, and now he's a church consultant. And for more than 25 years, he has been instrumental in helping churches that are declining and struggling. So Dr. Rainer wrote this book about several churches that had dried up and died and shut their doors. I'm talking about he wrote a book over about several churches he has studied over the years that actually shut the doors, disbanded, was not a church there no more. Now, the churches were all different denominations, although they were all evangelical churches. The churches were different in size. They were different in location. They were different in demographics, age, and all that stuff. He wanted to get a clear balance of the problem. But what Dr. Rainer discovered was that in his study was that all these churches, though they were different in size, they were different in denomination, they were different in location, they were different in demographics, they were different in age, they exhibited the same problems and the same symptoms that resulted in the death of that church all the way across the board there. I found his book to be very insightful, so I decided I'd take his advice and information, years of experience, and preach these next several messages in the hope of preventing a death. Now, what we need to do is we need to, as God's people, take a look and foresee the evil and the danger and the possible problems that could adversely affect or even kill our church. And we need to make sure with God's help that we avoid and overcome them. Now, listen to me this morning. I want to make something very clear. I'm not preaching this message this morning because I think we are a dying church. I'm not preaching this message this morning because I think we're even sick. Now, listen. Obviously, we're not a perfect church. Amen. Obviously, we have some things we need to work on. We know that. But I'm not preaching this because I think we're dying or I think we're struggling or I think we're dead. However, I will say this. I do believe that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And just like if you remember back at our revival, Dr. Peacock preaching to us one night of the revival about personal preventative maintenance on an individual, taking inventory of your life, having maintenance so you can go the whole way. I don't think that just applies to an individual. It ought to apply to a church. We need to be aware of these things that will destroy and kill a church. And we need to do preventative maintenance on our church. And listen, folks, listen to me. Everybody, please. I know this is a rather long introduction, especially for me. I usually have a little short introductions and get on into it. But I'm setting the stage for this series I'm going to be preaching. So stay with me just for a few moments, all right? I promise you, we're going to get to preaching here after a while. I promise you, if you come here looking forward to old Brother Dennis making somebody mad, you'll get it in a minute. Just hold on. Just hold on. Folks, it can happen to any church. Let me tell you, toward the beginning of this book and throughout these messages for the next several weeks, I'm going to be quoting what this fella said. I'll be quoting this book because he says some great things. He tells about a church at the beginning of that book that was located out in the Midwest somewhere. He doesn't tell where it is. And he said, now this is what he said about this church. He said in 1975, a long time ago, the church had an average Sunday morning attendance of 750 people. He said this church out in the Midwest had an average attendance of 750 people per Sunday. That's a good sized church, ain't it? I don't know how many years later it was, but the church was having trouble. And he said by the time the church actually broke down and called him and he came in there to talk to him, they were averaging 83 people a Sunday. He said he worked with that church. Listen, he worked with that church for 3 weeks. And he said the problems were obvious. Before he left, he gave his prognosis. He said the church is dying and it's going to close in 5 years. That's what he told the people. But some of the people that had killed that church were very tenacious. And bless God, they were going to prove them wrong. And they did. They proved Dr. Rayner wrong. It didn't close in 5 years. It closed 10 years later. Do you understand what I just told you? That's a man that went to help out a church that was running 750 people per Sunday. And it got down to zero. They locked the doors and left and went away from the church. And they don't meet there anymore. It's gone. 750 to nothing. And you and I are prideful and foolish to think that that can't happen right here. It can. It does. Happens all the time. I don't know. I don't know where he got this statistic. He said this. He said that right now, currently, and I think the copyright of this book's 2014. I think it just come out. He said, and again, you know how statistics are. It depends on who's getting them, where they're getting them from. He said there's currently 100,000 churches in the United States showing signs of decline or death. 100,000. And you'd be surprised at all the churches I'm hearing about here in the last 3 or 4 years that are closing their doors. Now, there's something wrong and something going on to making that, to getting from a thriving church that's growing and doing something for God till one day you go by there and it don't even meet anymore. There's something wrong. And we need to find out what that is and look at it. And make sure our church don't go down that same path. Again, it can happen to any church. So really, let me just tell you this, and we're going to get on into the message. I won't be any longer than usual, so sit back, relax, exhale, it'll be okay. Really, today's sermon is just an argument for the next 6 sermons. That's what today's about. I'm just going to plead my case to you today as to why for the next 6 Sunday mornings, if God will help me, I'm going to tell you what he found and what was a common problem among churches that died and that are sick and it eventually closed their doors. And I want you to get on board to see that, hey man, this is a needed series in our church. We need to be here to hear it for the sake of our church and for ourselves. So I want to just reason with us about why it's so important that we take a spiritual wellness check of our church, and in doing so, treat any spiritual illness and take any measures necessary to avoid spiritual illness. Now, before I get started, is that the heat on? We need to get that off, and I mean now. I mean, I know these folks fanning and hot, and I'm hot, and it's fixing to get sure enough hot in here. So let's just go ahead and get that heat off. Matter of fact, you might want to shoot some air in here now. All right, here are some reasons I want to give you, seven of them. Give them to you real quick, and you'll be able to go home today, and hopefully you'll be back here this afternoon for the ordination service. Number one, it is a wise thing for a church to find out about things that can kill it. It's just a wise thing for a church to find out about things that can kill it. Let me ask you something. Don't you have checkups? Well, most of you do. You know, listen, why do people have checkups? They check for their blood pressure. They go get their cholesterol checked. Their triglycerides. People have their blood sugar checked. Men, we have our PSA checked. People have cancer screenings, don't they? They have regular colonoscopies. Why? Why? To prevent or manage possible heart attacks, stroke, cancer, diabetes. Listen, all of which can kill somebody. Do you know why they say they want you to have cancer screenings and early detection and all? Because they want you to find the thing in time enough to deal with it. And if people will spend all that money and all that time to have these screenings and these appointments with the doctor, then I think it's wise for us to find out, hey man, what is the possible danger signs in my local church that's telling me we're headed for a disaster? The doors possibly are going to be shut. And if they're not shut, we're just going to be a dead, dried up, old, stagnant church. Everybody look up here at me. I'll tell you something right now. I ain't interested in no dead, stagnant, dried up church. You better amen this morning. I'll extend the sermon. Listen, I want it to grow numerically. I hope people keep coming in. But I'm much more interested in the temperature of the church. Now, I know we got some churches that grow from time to time, and we grew. But like I said, there's a difference between growing and swelling. Some of these churches, they ain't really growing. They're getting a lot of people in there, but they're just swelling. I want the fire to fall from heaven every time we get behind this pulpit. When we get in this church, I want it to be alive. I want God to be doing something in this place. Come in here, sit in here like it's a cotton picking funeral service, and everybody, half the people's asleep, and the other half looks like they've been sucking on lemons. I'm going to tell you something. I don't want that around here. Do you want that? I didn't think you did. So, we better do regular spiritual checkups on our church to fight off the things that can kill our church. There are things that can kill our church. Number two, we need to understand and be familiar with the warning signs of a dying church. This is connected with point number one, but I want to tell you again, listen. People stop. Everybody look at me now. This is real important, okay? Everybody look at me. People stop coming. When you have stagnant services, when you have ministries that are not being fulfilled, when giving is reduced, when there's no fervor for lost souls, when it's more like a funeral home than a worship service, when the people don't love and reach out to each other as before. I'm going to tell you something. These are signs you ought to be looking at and wondering about. Bad things, man. It's bad things going to happen for your church when that starts showing up. Now, this one brother I was in Bible college with, he said a little boy came up to him and said, "Brother Jeff, so-and-so's in trouble, and can we take up a love offering for him?" Brother Jeff put his arms around that boy and said, "Son, ain't enough love in this church to take up a love offering for nobody." That's sad, ain't it? A lot of churches like that. Now listen, we need to understand and be familiar with the warning signs of a dying church. And when we start seeing this stuff happen, we need to know that we're heading down the wrong road. You understand that? Number three, when a church goes so far, it almost never recovers. You say, what are you talking about? Well, let me tell you what I've found out about churches, and I have alluded on this here before. There seems to be a point of no return for a church. You understand what I'm saying? There seems to be a point of no return for a church, and it's just like a pilot going down the runway. If there's a thing where a pilot goes down the runway called the point of no return. And when that pilot goes down that runway, he's just got so much runway, okay? So he's got to get it up enough speed, so when he's going down that runway, he's got to get up enough speed so he can start lifting up and taking off. Well, when he gets to a certain point on that runway, there's only so much runway. You don't understand what I'm saying? You're going to eventually run out of runway. So when he gets to that certain point on that runway, he's got it up enough speed to start taking off. There's a point of no return. In other words, he can't stop and decide, well, I'm not going to keep on with my ascension because he can't slow down in time now. He's going to run off the runway. He's going to run into something. So when he hits that point of no return and he decides we're taking off, brother, whatever's going to happen, you taking off. And if there's a problem, hope you can get back down or whatever. There seems to be a point of no return with the churches when they get a bad reputation in the community. And outside of a major miracle, they never seem to recover. Let me tell you something. There are some diseases in a physical body that if they're detected early, they can be treated fairly easily. But if left unchecked, they'll kill you. And I'm telling you, there's a point, I believe, that when a church goes, they're not... How many of you... I can think of two or three churches right now that have got some good men to come in and pastor that's tried very hard and they're scratching their head. And I can't just go ahead and sit down and tell them because I know that God can perform a miracle, don't you? I mean, God can perform a miracle. He can do anything he wants to. But I want to sit down with some of these pastors and say, look, man, you're finished. You're at a finished church. Nothing's going to happen. The best thing you can do is load your stuff up and try to go somewhere else and preach. You say, how in the world can you say that? Because I'm telling you, after years of experience, I know that when that church gets that stigma, that reputation in that community as a troubled church, as a problem church, as a church with disunity, as a church that's always running off the preachers, as a church that's always fussing and fighting, as a church that's split and splintered and run folks off and had trouble one after another, after another, after another, you might as well just shut the doors and put Ichabod over it and go somewhere else. It ain't going nowhere. It's finished. Take a bulldozer to it. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. And good men can come in, and good people can come in and try to revive it, but it just can't be done. That's why we need to understand these things and be familiar with it, because if we ever get so sick that we got an incurable diagnosis, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. The next thing is, most churches die slowly. And they don't even recognize they're dying. It's what we call spiritual erosion. We need our eyes open to slow spiritual erosion in the church in our lives. Amen? You know what I was reading in this book, Dr. Rainer pointed out in his book. He pointed out this, he said, most churches don't shut their doors over one single event or one bad cataclysmic event. He said it's over a long period of time. You know what he said? He said it's what happens is that when you're in a church Sunday after Sunday, week after week, year after year, you and I don't realize and recognize the signs. You ever seen somebody that if you were to see them every day or if you were to see them every week, you wouldn't realize how much weight they've lost. But if you ain't seen them in 6 months and they've lost 30 or 40 pounds, you go, my goodness, man. You've lost a lot of weight because you ain't been around them. You haven't been in that. And I just think what happens is a lot of times we're in a church and we go through the motions and we don't even realize that we're slowly, one service at a time, 1 week at a time, 1 month at a time,
1 year at a time.
Drifting away. How many have been fishing and you put your anchor down and you finally get on the fish and man, you're out there and you're throwing three or four times and you were on them and they were really biting and they're not biting anymore and you go, why ain't they biting? Why ain't they biting? And you don't even realize what's happened, but the anchor slipped. See, you done, listen folks, you done drifted a good bit before you even figure out the anchor slipped, ain't you? I mean, you done floated by a little bit. You're still out there throwing and wondering, why ain't they biting no more? Why ain't they biting no more? You ain't on the hole no more. You done moved. You done moved off the hole. You didn't even know it till it's too late. You're away from there. Like the old frog in the pan illustration. I heard you. If you have a heated up pan or something and the frog jumps in it, man, it'll burn him. He'll jump right out. But you put that frog in that pan and it's cool and just ease the heat up. And ease it up, let it slowly, 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 slowly heat. That frog won't detect that it's bad. He'll just burn up in there. Because he doesn't realize it's such a great change. Listen, folks, we've got to realize that. We've got to realize it's a slow thing. I know the devil is against this. I've got zero liberty up here. I don't know what the deal is, but I am fighting hell and I'm fighting flesh and fighting dark. Man, it's like I'm trying to preach through Jell-O this morning. So y'all, I know God wants this is for this church. He's going to do everything he can for this not to be affected. I want you to listen to me now. And pray for your preacher because I am really struggling trying to preach this. Churches, here's the next one, just a few more. Churches are prone to have stinking thinking. What's that stinking thinking? Living in the past. Well, some people said this before in the church. We'll die before we change. Yeah, you sure will. God might arrange it a little bit quicker than you think. They think this. The best days are over. Maybe physically and numerically, but not spiritually. If you think the best days are over, they probably are. You aim at nothing, you're going to hit it every time. I mean, you got that attitude that, boy, you know, well, it just can't be that way. And it's Laodicea, preacher. And, you know, folks just don't want the Bible no more. And it's just tough ministry. And it's just hard. And you know, we've just been through this way before. And that's just the way it's going to be. Yeah, just old negative, stinking thinking. And I know, but we don't need to change and all, blah, blah, blah. Come on. You need to recognize that. Next point, change may need to take place. It may need to take place in order to prevent death. Change may need to take place in order to prevent death. Folks, I've never been so serious as I'm preaching right now. I know that there's a distraction in here from the devil because he's wanting our church. Our church is going to get some help in the next six, seven weeks. You need to be praying, and you need to try to focus on what's going on here. Okay? Focus on it. I don't preach very long. I'm not that boring, am I? All right? Well, stay focused, all right? I know some of you's got adult ADD, but you need to take your medicine before you get here or something. All right? Whew. Change may need to take place in order to prevent death. Not change on the Bible truths, principles, or doctrine. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about changing what we believe. I'm not talking about changing what we stand for. I'm not talking about changing good old-fashioned Bible truths. But listen, folks, sometimes we need change in our lives. Sometimes the church needs to change its methodology. Sometimes churches need to change its policies. I don't care that great-great-grandfather helped establish his church and he said so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. Great-grandfather's been dead and gone for years. Things are a lot different than when great-grandfather was around. Listen, man, you cannot keep your mind on all that stuff and just say, man, we don't want to change. You know what the Baptist hymnal is? The one that they like the best? I shall not be moved. Boy, y'all like that song, Baptist. I shall not be moved. Even if the Holy Spirit tries, I won't be moved. I mean, change, listen, change in the average Baptist church is a cuss word. change in the average Baptist church is a cuss word. We ain't never done it like that before. Yeah, and you ain't never been right either. Amen. Well, my granddaddy, yeah, your granddaddy wasn't right, and your daddy wasn't right, and you bless God, you ain't right. Y'all keep fooling with me. I'll just do like the old pastor told me years ago. He said, son, when you ain't got no liberty, just take it. I may just take a little bit of it this morning. Amen. If you, listen, I want to read this sentence word for word so you can get it. I wrote it down. If you are bound up in tradition that is not bound up in the Bible, then you are acting like a modern day Pharisee, at least in that one area. You know what one of the major problems of the Pharisee was? Tradition. Making up their own standards. Their own teachings. Their own things. Fooling on what the scripture says. I mean, they would, a strain out of a gnat, swallow a camel. Yeah. They make up their own stuff. Like a lot of the preachers do, you know. Yeah. Preaching against wired rimmed glasses and flip flops and facial hair. I had a fella tell me one time up there in Pennsylvania somewhere where I was, he started bragging about how he was so clean shaven, didn't have any hair on his face. I thought, well, you liar, you ain't shaved your eyebrows. I get so sick and tired of somebody preaching, somebody right or wrong. Listen, Jesus Christ wouldn't be welcoming me here with that fundamental crown. He had a beard, he had a mustache, he had longer hair. I mean, it wouldn't cut up above his collar, but we wouldn't fool with Jesus Christ. Yeah, he probably wouldn't fool with you either. Now, if you don't like it, I got more of it. I'm going to tell you something. If people are preaching on stupid stuff that ain't in the Bible and worried about that mess. And that's why the churches dry up and die. Ain't nothing to them. I just go ahead and tell you, when I get back from the Jubilee, I'm going to grow me a winter beard. I might duck dynasty up in here. I don't care what none of you say. Bless God, I think a man can grow a beard. Amen. Thank you, bro. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Amen. Everybody wants, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Oh, he had a beard. Bunch of modern day Pharisees. Listen. We can sit right here and say, we don't want to do that. And that's uncomfortable. And we never done it like that before. And I don't think, Or we can just say, God, now, there's probably some change in this church that we could do. That would not be a compromise, that would not be against biblical teaching, that would help us in the ministry. And we need to be willing to get out of our comfort zone and do it. Do it. And finally, my last point, I do want to say this. The church can only die if the members and the families die. You know what makes this church? Families. You have individuals. The individuals make up the families. Families make up the church. So I don't want you to just think about this morning in just the church. I want you to think of it about your family. I want you to think of it about you as an individual. The church is composed up of many families, composed of many families and individuals. And these next six sermons are not just about identifying problem areas in the church, but it's about identifying problem areas in your own life. Why does the church mess up? Why does the church dry up, folks? Why does the church die? Why does a church that's thriving and healthy, how can a church go from 750 to zero? Why do the doors shut? Everybody look up here at me. Everybody look up here at me right now. It is because one person at a time, one family at a time, one couple at a time gets messed up until finally they're all out. Out. And this is not just about the church. It's about you. It's about our church spirit not spiritually dying. About you not spiritually dying. I don't know if you realize this morning. I want to bring something to your attention. Sitting in our congregation right here this morning, listen to me now, sitting in our congregation right here this morning are three families that used to attend a church that's no longer open. The doors are shut. Nobody goes there anymore. That's the three families I'm thinking of. There's someone else that used to go to that church that's not here. There's probably, is there anyone else that maybe I'm not thinking of? That did anybody come here from a church that shut its door and just disbanded? Or did you used to go, okay, did you used to, who used to go to a church that disbanded? See, I didn't think about you, Miss Dale, Brother Sherman. Five or six families. Don't you tell me I'm wasting my time. Don't you tell me I'm trying to use scare tactics. Don't you tell me it's not that big a deal. Don't you tell me I'm just all this interruption and this hard time we're having trying to preach through this ain't real, brother. There's folks sitting here right now that can tell you they used to go to a church that was open and thriving and there ain't even no church there no more. It can happen to any of us. Any of us at any time. There was a prayer in that book, and he has a prayer after each chapter, and I'm getting ready to close. I wanted to read this prayer to you before I close. I thought Dr. Rainer's prayer was good, and I think this would be a good way to end this first service this morning. This was a prayer he put in there. He said, God, open my eyes that I might see my church as you see it. Let me see where change needs to take place, even if it is painful to me. And use me, I pray, to be an instrument of that change.